We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome back, Packers fans, to the Pack-A-Day Podcast. It is part of your Saturday crew. One of our members is missing. I am Jason Perrone of Game On Wisconsin, the Quick Slants Podcast, and the Pack-A-Day Podcast, along with Mark Eckel of Packer Report. Paul Brettel has got some family to attend to this weekend. So Paul will not be with us. We will welcome him back next weekend. That's what he said. Yeah, that's true.
That's what he texted us.
That's right.
I think he's still drunk from celebrating the Bucks. That's just my opinion. My sources told me he's still drunk from the Bucks.
Oh, sources. The famous sources.
Yeah.
Right?
The buzz is that Paul's still buzzed.
The buzz, probably. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm not going to go into the basketball part of things. If you know, then you know. We'll jump right into Packers because it's football season, Packer season here. And speaking of sources and buzz, I guess let's lead off with this, Mark, because on Friday
Segue into that.
Well, you teed me up perfectly. And actually, I am completely out of line right now because that's not how we start the show. We got to start the show with the obvious. We always start with the weather report, and we got to go as far east as we can. And we actually have a participant who sent me a direct message, Martin Halander. Martin, I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing your last name. All the way out in Sweden, heard that we did Norway's weather last week, and he said Big Brother Sweden needs to be a part of this here. So he sent us a picture of him wearing his Green Bay Packers hat with a beautiful backdrop there, some greenery. Weather report for Ljusdal in the middle of Sweden, 68 degrees Fahrenheit. What a nice – isn't it nice that they convert these from Celsius to Fahrenheit for us?
Good for you. That is nice.
Yeah, clouds and some sunshine.
I don't know how to do it. So.
Right. Well, I Google it. That's what I do. I type it into the internet, but – clouds and some sunshine, 68 degrees Fahrenheit. That's summer in the woods of Sweden, according to Martin. Martin, thanks so much for reaching out. Thank you for listening to the Pack-A-Day Podcast. And now we'll move further west. I always love saying it that way. We'll move further west to the east coast of the United States. Mark, what's going on the east coast?
Yeah, it's not often that you could come west to me. But
yeah.
No, it's beautiful here. I'm going to say it's about mid-80s, sunny. I like to say it all, it's a very good beach weather. It's been that way most of the week.
Excellent.
Almost all week.
Yeah, that's beautiful. It's been weird here in the Phoenix area. It's been kind of stormy. We've had these like scattered thunderstorms or chances of rain every single night for the last 2 weeks. And then today or on Friday, we got pounded with a ton of rain. Actually, Thursday night and Friday, just absolutely pounded by thunderstorms that rolled through. But obviously, the rain in the summertime is great because we need it here in the Phoenix area. It's dry and we're in the desert, but it also helps with wildfire season, which is unfortunately a reality that we see every single year. There's some sort of big fire out here in the Arizona, you know, up in the woods area, a little more further north between Phoenix and the Grand Canyon, up in the Grand Canyon area. And then California is no stranger to those as well. So all this, hopefully this damp weather will kind of help curtail some of the fire action that may be going on this summer. But there is your weather report in Green Bay, Wisconsin, in honor of Paul, who, as you said, he's got, you know, he's got big fish to fry, and it's Friday, but 84 and sunny out in the Green Bay locale. That's some beautiful summer weather, man. They're getting, they're just blessed beyond belief out in Wisconsin this past week. So let them party in the streets, but we'll see how many of those blessings continue, because now we can segue into our first topic, Mark. News broke on Friday, Ian Rappaport announcing that negotiations between the Green Bay Packers and star wide receiver Davante Adams that were underway have broken down, and there are no plans to reopen them anytime soon. Rappaport added his own spin on it, saying first the quarterback, now the star wide receiver. Haven't heard anything from Davante Adams yet. Mark, I'll kick it over to you. It just seems like, you know, the Packers have avoided, for the most part, a lot of big-time drama over the past decade or so, and this year seems to be making up for lost time.
Well, first of all, to compare Adams to Rodgers is silly. They're not the same issues. I mean, Adams is about, he has a year left before he becomes a free agent, so mm-hmm. they're working on a long-term deal,
yep.
which most teams with good players on their last year are doing this. They broke off. Okay, well, I mean, that happens. It's not like free agency starts next week. You know, they have a whole year and then some. I mean, you know, talks broke off. Remember Aaron Jones? He hired a new agent. He hired, bro. There's no way.
Oh, yeah. Everybody was sure that he was out of town. Yep.
Can't happen. Well, they re-signed Aaron Jones, didn't they? I mean, for the most part, when the Packers even talk to you about a deal, a deal gets done. I mean, that's just, I mean, I'm sure somebody knows of one guy that they talked to and didn't get it done. But for the most part, if they want a guy back, and right now they're both playing a little bit of hardball. I'm sure Devontae's asking for more than he knows he's going to get. And the Packers right now are probably offering a little bit less than they know that they can go too. So, yeah, and so they broke off. Okay, because you know why they broke off too? Because Adams probably said, all right, you know what? Let me just go play football now. Camp starts next week. I don't want to be dealing with this money stuff. Let me go play football. And guess what? The talks will reopen. I don't know when. Maybe during the season. They will reopen. Now, I'm not guaranteeing that Adams will be back, but I am guaranteeing that talks will open again with this, just like they did with Aaron Jones, just like they did with Kenny Clark, and just like they did with David Bakhtiari. I mean, like I said before, do you remember any player that they wanted that they didn't get back? I mean, Lindsley, they would have loved to, but they knew they weren't going to be able to, so they never opened talks because it would have been a waste of time, because they knew he was going to get more than they could afford to pay, and they had to let, you know, they chose to go with Jones and Bakhtiari and Clark instead. So, and again, the Packers also have an ace of the hole that they could use, and that's the franchise tag. So, you know, if they really want him and they really can't get anything done, they slap the franchise tag on him. And then he either stays for a year on the franchise number, or some team gives them two number ones for him, mm-hmm. which could happen.
Yep. Yeah. Well, Adam's a great talent, and I think there's a lot to be said there. I mean, you get the easy common narrative, which is, oh, he's betting on himself and he's going to go play instead of holding out and risking injury. But that's always been really silly to me, because it's football. You know, like, it's your job. So I get that it's physical and you could get hurt, sure, but you're going to go play football because he loves the game, and, you know, he's probably got some incentives that he wants to hit by being in camp and during the regular season. So the whole idea of, well, you know, he should hold out and that the, you know, the teams have all the power, which I think is true in a lot of ways. I agree. I think they'll end up getting a deal done with Adams, and it's been really interesting, Mark. And since we're kind of still in that lull period, there wasn't a lot of news that hit this week except for the Adams thing. And you have experience, a lot of good experience covering the NFL. I'm not putting you on the spot and asking you to throw anybody under the bus, because I know that the Packers fans have their particular opinions about the way that Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport have reported some of this stuff. But Rappaport saying it like this and Schefter saying it that way, I mean, they have a job to do, and clearly their organizations or the entities that they work for want it done in a certain way. But they know they have a huge following and that they're kind of the bigger voices in the room. So is that just smart reporting on their part? Or is it like, hey, you know, it's there's something is amiss here, as it seems like it's being reported as big issues when really it may not be the case?
Well, there's, again, they're separate. I respect Ian Rappaport. And again, I see what he's doing. I mean, it's, you know, the talk of the offseason has been Aaron Rodgers, and God, we don't even know what's going on with him because he hasn't said anything. I mean, he's talked, but hasn't said anything other than we'll see. And, you know, the mysterious things, and I had my mental issues, and he's been, you know, mysterious is a good word. That's what he's been this offseason. He has not said, he's never said, I don't want to go back to the Packers. He's never said, I'm mad at the front office. He's never said any of that. He's let other people say stuff, but again, I could be wrong. I could be totally off base here, but it's mostly ESPN people, or maybe almost all ESPN people, who are the Rodgers isn't going back to the Packers. He doesn't want to play for the Packers, and led by Adam Schefter, who, by the way, is a diehard, longtime Denver Broncos fan.
Yeah,
covered him for years. Wrote a book with Shanahan. Was very tight with Elway. Who's the team that people keep saying that if Rodgers doesn't go back to the Packers, he would go to?
It is the, let me check my notes, Denver Broncos.
How about that? Interesting.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'll believe guys like A.J. Hawk, who is very close with Aaron. James Jones, another guy, maybe just as close, if not closer, than A.J. Hawk is with Aaron. Mercedes Lewis, who of the current Packers is probably as close to Aaron as anybody, probably closer to anybody on the current team. And all three of them are like, yeah, Aaron's going to be there. He has some issues, but he's going to be there. All three of them who know him and probably are talking to him through all this say he's going to be there. So, again, I'm just going to, if it was the other way around, I would say, listen, no, he's not coming. But when I hear those three guys say, don't worry, and, you know, he's going to be there, and I hear, you know, Stephen A. Smith, who I like a lot, I know personally, we go back a long way, or Schefter or anybody else that is just a reporter, I shouldn't say just, but they're not friends of Aaron Rodgers, saying the opposite, well, I'm going to tend to go with Hawk and Jones and Lewis on this one. Now, again, I could be wrong. We'll know soon enough. But again, with the Adams thing, yeah, it's a story. I mean, it's newsworthy that talks have broken off. But again, it'd be a lot more newsworthy, like I said, if this was March and free agency was about to start next week.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that, like you said, I covered the Eagles for a long, long time. Now the Eagles were different than the Packers in terms of, especially under the old Eagles regime. Currently, they kind of keep guys more than they used to. But yeah, there were so many times when I'm talking to an agent, and again, agents and teams both use the media in their own ways. You know, there was like a guy holding out for the Eagles or whatever, and I'd talk to his agent, and he'd be like, we're not coming in. No, it's ridiculous. I don't think he'll ever play for the Eagles again. And of course, I have to write that, right? The agent is telling me this. And then on the other hand, the team will even say stuff like, we're not giving in. No, I mean, listen, we've made a more than fair offer to him. If he doesn't want it, let him sit. We're not going to do anything. No, blah, blah, blah. And then 2 weeks later, I get you get an email or back then, whatever, a call. Oh, yeah, we so-and-so signed a 4-year deal. I'm like, oh. And then I'd see the agent. I'm like, what happened to, we're never going to play? Well, you know, things change a little bit. I'm like, yeah, you were just saying that to, you know, say it. Mm-hmm. And he'd laugh and say, well, you know, I try to get my point across. So, yeah, I mean, but here's my question to you and to anybody else. How much can the Packers pay Devontae Adams? And how important is wide receiver?
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Well, Devontae in particular is, he's, and I don't care about the rankings from other players and coaches. That stuff's fun, but it doesn't mean anything. It's game to game, play to play. You might be the best on one play, and then you drop the pass the next play. But I think Adams is a big part of the offense. So the Packers, I mean, they have to. And I know that wasn't the question really, but I don't know the numbers. I don't know what the numbers are going to look like in terms of what
I'm sure he wants to be the highest paid wide receiver to get.
Of course, and honestly, he has every right to want that. I mean, if everyone approaches it from a different standpoint. He's got elite talent physically. He works really hard. He's put up a lot of production. He scored a lot of touchdowns last year. He was really good. He gets open. If he's on the field, he's open. That's Devontae Adams. If you need a guy to create some separation enough to fit a ball in a window, I don't care who's on him, Devontae is going to create that space. So what is that worth? Well, it's worth a lot. And the Packers have had this tendency over the past, I mean, maybe it's kind of digging really far back and I might be at risk of sounding like a little hyperbolic here. But over the past two or three decades, you ask the question, who have they lost that they wanted back? Maybe a few guys, but very, very few. And the Packers find a way to get it done. And I'm not saying that they're going to create money where money isn't there. I think players understand that if you want to continue your career in Green Bay, we're going to do everything we can to reward you as handsomely as we can. It's got to make sense. Obviously, quarterbacks get paid a lot more than other players in the league, and there's a reason for that. But I don't know what – I'd have to imagine that it's probably not because the Packers are trying to lowball here. I mean, I hope that's not what comes out. I hope it's something else or much more minor than that. But – Adams is the kind of player that you've got to try. If you were willing to keep Aaron Jones and negotiate your way through Aaron Jones, and maybe they'd already decided, hey, we're not going to keep Jamal Williams and we can't lose both of them.
Right.
Then, you know, but if you're going to keep Aaron Jones in the pantheon of where I think Devontae Adams falls in comparison to Jones, I mean, Devontae's a little more up there, closer to like Bakhtiari in terms of value because of what he does on the field. I mean, Bakhtiari's value, he might be the most valuable player on the team.
Yeah, I agree.
Because he protects the quarterback, and everyone says, it is the quarterback.
Melton Jenkins is very close because he's just amazing.
Yeah.
That guy amazes me, but go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's incredible what he can do, and so in terms of value, but Devontae has made himself a very valuable wide receiver, whereas receivers may not all be as valuable as him to the other 31 teams in the league just because they don't have a Devontae Adams. And there's some really good talent out there at receiver. I'm not saying there's nothing else out there. But Adams has definitely created a situation where if he wants to be the highest paid receiver in football, it's not unfair of him to ask for it. I don't know how the Packers pull that off. So I guess I'll kick it back to you to kind of break down your own point, Mark. What do you see it looking like? Are they going to do it?
I'm strictly guessing here because I certainly don't know what numbers are being talked about. I don't think it's about. I mean, the Packers know what the Packers, like you said, low, but no, they're not dumb, and they know how to do contracts, and they're very good at it. To be honest, like we said, they don't lose many players that they don't want to lose. They wanted to lose whoever, but they understood that you can't do everything, right?
Right. As Mark Murphy said, we're not idiots.
Right.
Right.
They haven't been as successful as they've been for years being idiots. I mean, there are some teams that you could say that about, but not the Green Bay Packers. But anyway, my guess is it's not even about total money or being the highest paid. Like the Packers may have offered him a deal that would make him the highest paid receiver. But it might not be like, I learned this through the years. It's not about total money. It's not about, what even the average per year. It's about when you're getting it, how much is guaranteed, how much is in the first 2 years as opposed if it's a, say, a 5 or 6 year deal. How much of it, what percent of is in the first two years? Because like anybody, any player wants more money today than in 4 years from now, So that's probably where the sticking points are, the guaranteed money and the percentage of how much is in the first year versus how much is in the final year of the contract. But yeah, I mean, I'm sure the Packers' offer is very, very fair. It's a good offer. Again, I don't know this, but knowing what I do know about the team and how they operate, I'm sure they didn't make him a bad offer. It's a good offer. He just wants it a little better. He wants some of it moved, some of that money moved around. I'm sure he wants more guaranteed, more in first, second year. The way things are now, maybe he wants the entire thing guaranteed, which was unheard of years ago in football. Nobody got guaranteed, but now you see more and more players getting, contracts where, Kirk Cousins got up 100% guarantee, which if you talk about teams that are idiots, that comes to mind. But other players have gotten 75% of it guaranteed or that could be a thing where he wants, and again, there's nothing wrong with his agent asking for the world right now because it's a way off. The free agency isn't tomorrow. Like I said, it's he has to play a whole year and then some, so it's going to be, again, and I think I'm glad you brought up Aaron Jones and the Packers re-signing Aaron Jones because I'm sure, and this is going through a lot of fans' minds, should they have not, if they can't re-sign Adams because they re-signed Jones, was that a smart move?
I would say not. I mean, I kind of went there in the direction of what I had to say there too. It's just Jones is good. He's very good, but Devontae Adams is next level. I mean, his footwork is just a marvel.
Yeah. To be honest, if they lose Adams over this, I would rather have Adams and Jamal Williams, AJ Dillon than Jones, as much as I like Jones and there's no comparison. Jamal Williams is a great guy. And I wish he went anywhere but Detroit, or Minnesota, Chicago. But Jones is a better player than Jamal Williams. That's not an argument. But I could have lived with Dillon Williams, and whoever the third back, with Adams, because I think the running game would still be good. Maybe not as good, but it would still be good. If the Packers don't have Adams in 2022, I mean, that receiving group is very average. Even if they do, and let's be honest, they got a, there isn't a receiver other than Amari Rodgers, who, by the way, there was some news here. He did sign today, finally. So
finally,
all the Packers draft picks are now signed, which was no big surprise. But they're all signed now. I mean, other than Amari Rodgers, every Packer wide receiver is in his final year. Funchess is on a 1-year deal. Lazard will be restricted, but he's still going to be unsigned. And MVS will be unrestricted at the end of the year. So, I mean, they could line up with no. I mean, they could lose all their wide receivers. The worst case scenario is, you know, they all lose. They don't get it. They have Amari Rodgers and nobody. You know.
Yeah, they start over and blow.
Which would be kind of weird.
Well, and the old adage too, to go back to your question about Jones and if it had impacted Adams. It goes back to the old adage of you just don't pay running backs.
You're preaching to the choir there. You know how I feel about that.
And that also helps answer that question for both of us. Now, I know there's probably some out there listening to the show right now and some out there in Packers land and NFL land and just in general who would say they'd rather have Aaron Jones than Davante Adams. There's always going to be somebody that supports the other side.
I don't know.
But the productivity.
I'm glad they have Aaron Jones.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
They're a better team in 2021. With Aaron Jones and without him, there's no doubt. And if they win the Super Bowl next year, then they did the right thing. But like you said, running backs, look at the highest paid running backs are never on teams that do anything.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't. I mean, and that's probably because they spent so much on a running back that they had holes other places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You look at Adrian Peterson, now he played for a team that only knows how not to win for a long time in the Minnesota Vikings. Yeah. And then you have Le'Veon Bell, who's with the Steelers and the Jets, and he was with the Chiefs most recently, right? And unless I'm mistaken, but...
Well, he's gone from there now. He's a free agent.
But that's the thing, he's a free agent. You know, these guys, you know, the wall...
I mean, Todd Gurley.
Todd Gurley. These guys, that's the problem, is that the wall comes out of nowhere. When a running back hits the wall, they literally hit the wall, and all of a sudden it's like, whoa. They went from
not
being...
Not only that, you don't win... I mean, great running backs are nice. It's great to have a great running back, but... You don't win. I've said this a million times. Just look it up. The great running backs in this day and age. Now, I'm not talking about 100 years. Don't tell me about Jim Brown and Jim Taylor. Don't even tell me about Emmitt Smith. I'm talking about today. The great running. The only running back last year that I believe that was like among the top rushers, whose team did well, was Derrick Henry, in Tennessee. But, like, you know, I mean, and nowadays, too, more and more teams are going with the, you know, the pairings of running backs. It's not one guy. You have two or three guys that you use. Tampa Bay, look at their running back. They won a Super Bowl. They had Leonard Fournette, who they picked up for next to nothing. And the other guy, I can't even think of his name now. Ronald Jones, right?
Yes, you're right. I was blanking as well. You're right.
Nothing special there. Kansas City. They got to the Super Bowl with a rookie, and then they had Bell, who they picked up, and then he didn't hardly even play. Shady McCoy, who they also picked up for next to nothing, and hardly I can go on and on. The Packers. I mean. Last year, the Packers they weren't paying Aaron Jones anything. And they got to the NFC Championship game with Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams, two guys that were making nothing because they were fourth and fifth round draft picks. I don't know. I that's how I feel about running backs. But again, the Packers now, and I know, like, you know, the fans love the wide receivers, right? They're mad every year that the Packers don't take a wide receiver in the first round. But maybe there's a reason for that, that they might not value the wide receiver position the way a lot of people and a lot of other teams do.
Well, the Packer fans have been mad for 20 years because Javon Walker was the last one.
I know.
20 years ago.
but they've got a lot of good ones in the second and third round.
And there's something to be said about that too, about right. value, right?
Yes. And again, I'm with them on that. I've learned a lot covering drafts and talking to general managers and assistant general managers who I've gotten closer to over the years. And first round, I like offensive linemen in the first round. Quarterback, obviously, if you need one. Pass rushers, corners, that's what I take in the first round. And again, it's been proven. Most of your best wide receivers, like Devontae Adams, have come in the second and third rounds.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at all the busts.
Look at Henry Ruggs right now. Look at Henry Ruggs in Oakland. He was the first receiver off the board. He's hardly been the best of that bunch from 2 years ago.
Right. No, exactly. I'm not saying there's some great receivers that have been taken in the first round through the years. But
oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
But again, you can get good receivers in the second and third round. And I can, for every good first round pick that you tell me, I'll come back with a guy that was taken later. That's just as good. And the team that took that wide receiver in the first round maybe didn't do anything else after that.
Right.
Whereas the team that took the wide receiver in the second or third round probably got good players in the first and second round as well.
You could probably even handicap yourself, Mark, to just examples of Green Bay Packers receivers in the second round and later, and you'd still have days worth of an argument. Because they've just been so good at finding them in two and beyond.
I mean, the Packers' best receivers over the last, since Javon Walker, we'll say, because they haven't taken one since, right? But they've gotten Jordy Nelson, who was a great receiver in the second round. They got Greg Jennings, very good receiver. What, second? Was he second or
second
third?
Round. Second, second round. Second James round. James Jones, third round. Yeah, Randall Cobb, second
James
round.
Jones, Randall Cobb, the last pick of the second round, so almost a third round. Devontae Adams. Second round. Now hopefully Amari Rodgers will be a very good receiver taken in the third round. So, I can speak from the Eagles' point of view as well. Most of their good receivers were taken, and they take him in the first round, but they took Freddie Mitchell in the first round. That didn't work out so well.
Well, it worked out in one particular game, damn it.
Yeah, that's like the only one. That's why he caught it. The Packers couldn't believe they threw to him. Packers figured, they're not throwing to that guy. We'll cover everybody else.
Now, we'll cover him with our quote-unquote Pro Bowl safety. Actually, I think it was Bawaju. It wasn't Sharper, but they were both
in the... No, Sharper was behind them.
They were both in
Sharper
the...
Sharper actually made the tackle.
Yeah.
Because I shouldn't go here, but I am. Years later, somebody was talking about that play. They were talking about McNabb threw the pass, Mitchell caught it, and Darren Sharper made the tackle. And I said, and all three of them went to jail. Because it was right after Donovan spent a couple of times in your jail out in Phoenix, right? Did he get a DUI or something?
He probably did. I'm blanking.
Freddie was in jail for, I don't know, mail for something crazy. And, of course, we all know that Darren Sharper is the most serious of the three. But, I said that once. And like, people just looked at me like, oh, my God, you're right. I'm like, yeah, well, that 4th and 26 was a bad play. This was a bad play. Everybody involved went to jail.
Well, it was a bad play except for those in Philly.
Yeah, well, they lost the next week to Carolina, so.
Yeah, they did, and I enjoyed
it. And the lead to my story that next week was, because that was the third straight year the Eagles had lost at the championship game. So my lead was 4th and 26 turned into 3rd and none.
Nice. There you go.
Yeah, I got even with Andy Reid on that one.
There you go. Oh, I'm sure he loved it. Did he say anything to you about it?
Nah. No, but he was asking other writers how I was doing after the 4th and 26 game.
Of course. Which,
or as I call it, the fourth and one.
Game. Yeah, I was going to say, be true to yourself. It's the 4th and 1 game.
4th and 1 game.
If you know, you know. Well, it's crazy to think, too, that a lot of our listeners right now might have been too young to watch, to have been invested in the Packers enough to really understand like what was going on at that time. And
what year? That was what, 2003?
Three.
Oh, yeah. Jesus, that was That's a long time ago. That's 18 years ago.
Yep, 2003.
Paul might have been too young. Nah, Paul was around then, right?
He was. I mean, you know, in middle school.
So he, yeah, it's a good point. But he's a student, so he knows what we're talking about.
Yeah, when I was in middle school, the Packers were just coming out of the garbage years. So,
when I was in middle school, they were in the garbage years.
Yeah, they went through. Well, that's those that lived through the that are still Packers fans that lived through the '70s. The 80s, everyone talks about the 80s and 8-8 and how, but I think the 80s, there were some good teams. Like if Lynn Dickey doesn't get hurt, because he had injury issues, right? In 83, they could have been really good. They could have had a really good team. I mean, they had some okay years in the 80s, and then 89, they went out with a bang, and then into the 90s, they were kind of doldrum, 90, 91, and then Favre shows up in 92, and the rest is history.
Well, Holmgren, Favre,
and then Reggie comes in 93, and right. But
the difference between the 70s and the 80s was like you didn't expect it. Like the 70s, you just knew you were bad, and you just, you know, anytime they won, you're like, hey, they won. That's great. Except 72, they were pretty good. That's the year they made the playoffs, lost to Washington, right? Yeah.
I'll believe you.
That was John Brockington, MacArthur Lane team.
Okay.
That's when you could run the ball. But what happened in the playoffs? Washington played a five-man line, dared Scott Hunter to throw the ball, and, well, if you ever saw Scott Hunter throw the ball, you know what happened. Although Leland Glass dropped a touchdown in that game, and that would have turned the whole game around. It would have been that Packers would have taken a lead. He was right. He was wide open. Hunter did get the ball to him, dropped it, and from then on, the Packers would never really threatened much after that, and it just kind of turned the whole game around. Like I think they lost, 13-3 or something? 16-3, 13-3, something like that.
The Packers have had too many moments like that over the past several decades. Mm-hmm. Just, you know.
But then in the 80s, those teams were exciting as all get out.
Mm-hmm. There were quite a few.
And they came so close so many. Like, I don't know how many times the last game, they had to win the last game of the year to make the playoffs. And they didn't. Like, it had to be at least three times that I remember on top of my head. One was against the Bears. One was against the Jets. And I think one might have been the Vikings. Well, all they had to do was win the game. Like, everything else had broke their way. And they lost every time.
Did you ever think the Packers would catch the Bears in the all-time series win-loss record?
No, I mean, let's be honest, though. No. They were so far behind.
They were so far behind. That's how slanted this non-rivalry has been over the past 30 years.
Yeah. I mean, no. To me, I never – no. Because for two reasons. I thought the Packers would get better, and you know, eventually. And of course, they did. Think about the Bears going from where they were in 85 – I mean, they really fell off the cliff. They've had a couple little uprisings. One year they did go to, they went to the Super Bowl in one year, but they've been bad.
Yeah.
You know. Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you this, as a Packer fan, because I've had this conversation with other Packer fans. I don't like the Bears. Don't get me wrong, I don't like them at all, but I hate the Vikings more.
Yeah, agreed.
Like when the Bears play the Vikings, well, depends on the standings at the time, but if they're both the same, if they're both 4-4 at the time when they play, I want the Bears to win.
Right.
You agree?
No, I do agree. Yeah, no, I definitely.
See, most people tell me no.
It's again, narrative-based, and not everybody's doing it. Maybe they have valid reasons for it, but I think a lot of that is just kind of lazy narrative-based thoughts like, no, the Bears are the longest-standing rival. You got to hate the Bears. You know, the Bears still suck and all that kind of stuff, but think about it.
I just hate the Vikings. I can't. I don't like that. That's my least favorite team, maybe in all sports.
Yeah, they don't. Their fan base doesn't win very graciously because they don't know how to win. They don't know what it looks right. like. When it happens, they don't know what to do with it. It's like a 5-year-old running wild in a mansion, and it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. But if we're being fair, where do you least want to play on the road? They have way more problems in Minnesota than they've had in Chicago.
Oh yeah. They've had more problems in Detroit than they've had in Chicago.
God, that the Detroit Lions are a strange black hole, but I think maybe not. Maybe I'm being a little bit lazy here, but I think division wise, that's probably true in a lot of divisions in football where it doesn't matter how good the two teams are. You're going to like, I feel like there have been a couple of seasons where Tampa has swept New Orleans, but New Orleans will end up only losing three games, and two of them were to the Buccaneers that season.
Oh, yeah.
So it just, and Detroit has, you know, that's happened. There's been some weird, really dumb games. Like, I, for a time, used to enjoy them playing on Thanksgiving. Now, every year when the Packers don't play on Thanksgiving, I'm celebrating, and I'm like, thank goodness, because I don't want my holiday potentially ruined by some stupid game between the Packers. Because
I also don't want to have to tell wherever I'm going, and now I'm married, so that, you know, I don't want to be, oh no, I'm busy from, if the game's an early game, or like, no, I can't do anything till that, and they look at me like, what do you mean, but I gotta watch, you can watch it over, no, I can't, I gotta watch it by myself.
They don't know. So, they don't know how regimented and ritual we are, and all of the stuff. And then if you're around the wrong crowd, that's why I don't like going. I don't like going to sport. If it's a place I know, I'll go. But I don't like going to sports bars that I'm not familiar with on game day, because you never know. And in Arizona,
there's a Packer bar out there, isn't there?
There's several. But there's also 31 other team bars out here, because we're such a melting pot of people from everywhere around the country.
Yeah, everything but a Cardinal bar.
Yeah. You know, there's one or two of those, and then it still is what it is. I'll go to that game. I have every intention of being at that game this season.
Oh, that's right, they're out there.
But I already know, because it happens every damn time the Packers come into town for the last decade plus, they're not going to win. I don't care how bad
it's funny you bring up. I actually saw a Packer Cardinal game in Glendale. It was the last game of the year. I forget what year.
2009. It was the only one that was worth watching.
The Packers blew them out.
Yeah,
the Cardinals didn't need it, but they were still blowing them out before. Like, the Cardinals started their regulars, and then the Packers jumped on them, and then they took their starters out, and it became a total blowout.
Yep.
And I was my bad Packer fan that day. I was like making fun of the Cardinal fans around me and stuff.
Well, they're easy.
Don't worry, Matt Leinart's going to be really good. Don't worry.
Yeah. Well, Kurt Warner had one more in the tank, and he got us all. So, because I was there the following week, and I had a run in with a couple of Cardinals fans. One of which almost got me exited early from back then was called University of Phoenix Stadium. Now I can't even remember what they call it now.
It's a beautiful stadium.
Yeah, it's a nice facility, but it's just so soiled by the team that plays in it. You know, I'm not a big Cardinals fan.
The week I was there, which, again, probably because it was the last game, whatever, there were more Packer fans than Cardinal fans in the building.
Yeah, very, very normal, very typical.
Packers, I mean, you could clearly hear "Go Pack, Go" throughout. Mm-hmm. Throughout
Packers
the game.
Packers fans travel extremely well, and it's no exception. There's a ton of us out here.
Yeah, and like you said, the Cardinals are what they are, and they probably a lot of Cardinal fans probably sold those tickets, you know. I remember when the Eagles played the Cardinals, there was always a lot of Eagle fans out there.
Mm-hmm.
Not more than half, I wouldn't say, but a third of the stadium was wearing green.
Well, because they used to be, whatever for whatever reason, because the Cardinals were in St. Louis for a long time, they used to be in the East together. The rivalry grows, and when you have a rivalry, I mean, Cowboys, that's the other thing too. Cowboys and Packers fans are probably the two biggest opposing fan bases that pack that stadium.
Oh, yeah. Well, Cowboys is not that far either. I mean, it's an easy flight.
Mm-hmm.
Eagle fans travel well. Eagles fans, I got to give them credit. I mean, they get a bad rap for a lot of things, and some deserved, but they travel. The Eagle fans travel well. See, you would know this better than I. Do Packer fans travel well, or are there just Packer fans in every city?
I think it's both.
Okay.
It's both. I mean, I travel, but the funny thing is I travel to Green Bay to go to the home games.
That's different. That don't count.
Which doesn't count, yeah. No,
I'm saying, do people from that live, like Paul would be better maybe to answer this. Do people from Green Bay, are they the ones flying out to Phoenix or flying out to Dallas or flying into Philly, or is it just there's a lot of people in Philly and in Phoenix that are Packer fans. I tend to think there's a lot of Packer fans because I'm in Myrtle Beach now. I'm not the only Packer fan here. I mean, I meet Packer fans everywhere I go.
Well, I think I've told you this.
I'm on the beach with a Packer towel.
It's a Packer towel.
And somebody will walk by and say, "Hey, Packers." I'm like, "Hey, it was a."
Well, we're in every corner of the world because I think I've told you guys this story before about, you know, back in the day when I was on a trip. I was in Puerto Rico and I was on a little island off of Puerto Rico called Vieques. I mean, it's tiny. You know, you could get from one side to the other in 20 minutes by car. And so it's tiny. And if you want to land, it's a puddle jumper. That's all they can take. It's a tiny runway. And I'm getting ready to take off from the airport to fly back to the main island to get to the San Juan, to the airport to come home.
Right.
And I'm standing there in this airport that's literally the size of my living room. I mean, it's just so tiny. And there's a freaking Packer bar inside of this tiny little airport in Vieques. They've got Packers flags everywhere. And I'm like, I took a bunch of pictures. I should post them at some point too, because this was like 10 years ago. And I'm like, this is how literally in every corner of the world this fan base is. We are in every nook.
Well, I mean, we're obviously in Norway and Sweden.
And there we go. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely true.
I have to compare everything to the Eagles because it's a team I was around for 32 years, but I don't think like when the Eagles played, like I said, the Cardinals, or there was a game once the Eagles played the Dolphins and Eagles fans took over the stadium. It was a Monday night game and they just took over. They're not Eagle fans that live in Miami. They're not Eagle fans that live in Phoenix. They're Eagle fans that live in Philly or Jersey and went there. I live in Myrtle Beach now, which is kind of a melting pot as well. I mean, I've met a handful of people who actually were born and raised here. You know, I mean, not many. People come, and maybe from other parts of South Carolina, even or North Carolina, or a lot of Northerners, you know, like myself, we retired and moved here, whatever. But I've not met an Eagles fan here. But I've met a ton of Packer fans. A lot of Steeler fans here. That's another team that I think has fans a lot of places.
Steelers. One of those heritage teams that have been around for a longer time. They have a solid fan base.
And they were good at one time.
And they won. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
The Steel Curtain. I mean, geez.
If you were growing up, well, you probably were growing up then. When you were growing up, was it the Steelers like the best team?
That was right. I came along right after that.
Okay.
So that was when,
a little bit older than.
Well, when I came around, it was nice. When I came around, it was like the Vikings were appearing in their Super Bowls, but losing them. But I was too young to know what was going on. And then shortly after that, it was the Niners, the Broncos, the Giants, the Browns,
Cowboy Niners,
Denver and Cleveland had that rivalry for a long time. Bernie Kosar, John Elway.
Right. I covered a lot of those games. But anyway, so
those are some stories. Those are definitely some stories for sure. I mean, I was going to say, I mean, this was good. This was a lot of fun. I was going to say, you know, training camp stories. And I think maybe we save that for when Paul comes.
Yeah, we got a month of training camp.
Yeah. When Paul comes. Well, let's save that for when Paul comes back, because he's got some stories too. Yeah. I've never been up in the summer before the season started. No, I've never experienced the bikes and all that fun stuff.
I've never been to a Green Bay training camp, obviously, but I've been to 32 Eagle training camps.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say stuff that you guys aren't going to... We'll save it for when we do it, but... My take on training camp isn't going to be the same as a fan's take on training camp, because I wasn't going as a fan.
Right.
So...
What are you going to do? The only players that are on the field for significant minutes are guys that aren't going to necessarily be on the team. So what are you supposed to write about? I mean,
training camp?
Are you going to?
No, there's plenty of stories in training camp. We'll get into that. Now, from a story standpoint, it's easy.
Okay.
Things happen.
Okay.
But I'll get into all that next week or the week after. We'll talk about that.
Good. Awesome.
All right.
Awesome stuff. So what's going on before we sign off? What's happening over Packer Report this week?
Well, I have right now. I have a story up on Aaron Jones. Speaking of Aaron Jones, on just what he can accomplish in 2021, he's going to move up. You know, if he has just a normal season, he's going to move up the list on a lot of all Packer all time rushing records. And if he has a great year, he can move way up. So I have a story just about, you know, what, you know, comparing him to the guys already on those lists, the Jim Taylors and John Brockington and so on. Next week, camp's opening, so, you know, we'll see what happens. I'm sure there'll be some news here and there. And, you know, we'll see what happens. It's going to be that now it all starts, you know, not for real, but they're going to be in camp, so there'll be football news.
Yeah, buzz. There'll be some buzz.
I'll be on Twitter, like, you know, finding out all that stuff out.
Refreshing. Who's the Oneida darling this year?
Refreshing, that's the word, yeah.
So on Quick Slant, Quick Slants is bumped up to twice a week, so I'll have a show out on Monday and another one on Thursday, obviously Packers-related, and we'll see if any news breaks or what the topic of the day was. The last show I did this past Thursday was talking about the two most pivotal Packers that I think are going to play a huge role and be important in this 2021 season. If you missed it, go back and check that out. So, Mark, another good one in the books. We'll do it again a week from now, and Paul will be with us, right? Hopefully
if
so.
If he sobers up.
Yeah, exactly. From what I have no idea. I've got nothing to celebrate. But again, if you know, you know. So that's why I'm saying it that way, and I'm saying what I'm saying. But all right, everybody, enjoy the rest of your weekend. Thanks so much for stopping by and listening to the Pack-A-Day podcast. Stay safe, as always, and go Pack Go.